we just could not seem to get pregnant. We kept our faith. We just kept believing, not wanting to give up, of course. But it just wasn't working out.
I just heard read about Sarah and how she was older and yet the Lord blessed her. Although that I didn't have one yet, I knew I'd be blessed one soon. So we saw specialists and we did like a insemination process.
We said, are we going to do this? Yes. Okay. Are we in prayer? Yes. So we started it and they let you know all the steps that you need to do.
That involved all these injections, shots.
I don't know how much shots you took in a year and a half.
And I just waited. They called and they had to say it wasn't successful.
In almost every situation, especially this, I would always just say, Rick, do you trust God? Even if he doesn't, you know, do you still trust God in all your ways? I would just say, Lord, sometimes I don't understand, but I trust you. And that just helps me get through that moment, through the next moment, through the next moment. I think it was Racy who came up to me and says, I want to try again. So Racy goes ahead through the procedure. We wait the 2 weeks and she gets a call.
Yeah. And they said, your levels are really elevated. We think you're pregnant. And I was so happy at that moment.
She actually had some bleeding one night and we really thought something bad happened. We thought we lost a child. We cried with each other, but again, we thanked and we praised God because one was doing good. We just thanked the Lord in everything. We just thanked the Lord. Within way less than a month, everything just cleared up. From a point where we thought we lost a child, now both babies was doing good. I mean, very good.
We looked at each other and said, okay, it's twins, be ready. So from then, we prepared ourselves and thanked the Lord every step of the way.
It's late at night, maybe about 10:30. Racy's holding a child. I'm holding a child. I'm on the floor, Racy's on the couch, and we're just enjoying the volleyball game on TV. Everything's good. And out of the blue, Racy just yells, I'm sick, I'm sick. And she starts to slump and she's going down. I go, what's wrong? And I could hear her struggling in her breath. That was the beginning of a 21-day stay in the ICU. They find through the MRIs a little tear. In that tear, there was a clot and that clot caused a stroke. You just break down and you cry. And you cry out to God, it's like, Lord, what is going on?
When I was in ICU, I never again was mad at God or questioned why. I know he has a plan for everybody. I don't dwell on having the stroke. I look at my two babies as blessings from the Lord, and I just feel blessed to still be here.
Whether we're a believer or a non-believer, the storms are going to be there. But who are we going to walk with through these storms is what matters most. And Christ walks with us. Mm-hmm. It's just completely amazing when we think about all the things that went on and these miracles, miracles and gifts from God that I don't know how to explain it, but we know it's all God. No matter the situation, always, always, always go back to God's promises, which is His Word, always.
Provide. This is my prayer in the fire, and weakness a trial or pain. There is a faith through the more worth than gold, so refine me, Lord, through the flames. And I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory.
And Rick and Racy are living expressions of those lyrics. Don't you agree that they're giving praise through their lives? Let's give them another hand as well. Rick and Racy Botel. Rick is on staff with New Hope Oahu at Hawaii Kai. He's the equipping director, associate pastor out there, and so their family's out there. So it's wonderful to have their campus pastor. Their campus has grown to about 700 people, New Hope Oahu at Hawaii Kai, and we have the privilege of hearing their pastor and the other Cordero, Pastor Aaron Cordero. Would you welcome Pastor Aaron?
Wow, well, welcome to New Hope. How are you doing? If you take out your notes with me, I've always wanted to say that. Well, we want to first of all welcome those of you who are out under the tent, as well as those of you who are watching by internet. We want to say welcome, New Hope Ohana. But would you take out your notes? Because today I want to talk to you about developing a faith that sustains. It was about 2.5 years ago that my dad sat me down at a Starbucks, and I was overseeing our youth ministry here at New Hope. And my dad, he turned to me and he said, "Aaron, what do you think about going out to our Hawaii Kai campus out there and pastoring out there?" And at the time, I was 26 years old. I was a kid. And I looked at my dad and I said, "You're crazy, brother. That's nuts. I got at least 4 more years plus, you know." But I really trusted my dad's judgment, his wisdom. And so I said, "Dad, what do you think?" He looked at me, he said, "Aaron, I think it'll be good for you. It'll be great training. And I think God will do a lot of neat things in you." And I said, "Okay, well, I trust you, you know." And I said, "Dad, well, when will I start?" And he looked at his calendar, and it was a Wednesday. I remember it clearly. He said, "Well, what about this Sunday?" I said, "You are crazy, brother." So my wife and I, we've been out at our Hawaii Kai campus here at New Hope Oahu, and it's just been such a joy to grow with the people out there. And, you know, the wonderful thing about New Hope and the church that we're at here is you can go to any New Hope, and it's just family. It's ohana. And there's so much support, prayer. I mean, for the last week, I've been getting text messages, calls from all over the place, just saying, "Aaron, we're praying for you guys. We love you guys." And it's just wonderful to be a part of this family. Aren't you excited to be a part of this family called New Hope? Yeah. Well, the hot topic in my life right now is my wife and I in April are going to have a little baby girl. Yeah. And I don't know if my wife is here. Is my wife here? Is she here? Huh? No? Oh, man. I wanted to be... Oh, where? Oh, babe, she's back there. Babe, stand up. Would you stand up? Show everybody your cute tummy. Look at that. Look at that. But yeah, I'm really excited to be a dad. And, you know, when you're standing at the brink of fatherhood or being a parent, you start thinking about a lot of different things in life, and life really stops becoming about moi and more about what God wants and what He wants for our family, and you start to think differently. And if you're a parent, I think you can agree with me where life is really, it changes, and even my faith and how I see life, how I see this world, it's a lot different. It really took me back to my childhood as I was thinking about this, and you know, the things that have shaped my faith. And I grew up in the church at New Hope. I've been a part of New Hope for over 25 years now, and I've seen a lot. And as a young boy, I had this notion in my mind that everyone that went to church or everyone that's a Christian is perfect. But if you look around, we know that ain't true. And as I thought people were perfect, I would see instances where, you know, on the worship team, there are two people that weren't married and they kind of hook up and, you know, and I noticed that and saw that, and it really shook my faith as a young kid. And then there'd be other instances where I would hear of people on staff at the church would give my dad a hard time and be mean to him. He was the pastor. I was thinking, no way, my dad is cool, man. I'm thinking, how can that be? And it really kind of shook my faith and tainted my faith a bit. And there was other things that would happen in the church, and I would see people that would fall away as well as people that made it. I was thinking, Lord, you know, I'm looking at all of these things, and I even wondered at a young age, Lord, am I going to make it? I remember coming to my mom one evening, and I said, "Mom, you know, I'm seeing all these different things happening with people that are at church, and, you know, and I wonder if I'm going to make it, because I look at that, and I just don't know if it's possible." And so she sat me down, and like a good mom, she, you know, she said, "Aaron, I understand how you feel, and, you know, people, we go through things. There's going to be experiences, circumstances, problems that we're going to go through, we're going to face. And your emotions are going to be all over the place. We're going to always wrestle with things. There'll be storms that we'll go through. But she said, Aaron, here's the thing, is you always need to come back to the person of Jesus Christ and who he is. His ways, his word, his truth. Because that's something, Aaron, that will never change. And though the world around you may be changing, that will never change. And if you have Jesus in your heart, then everything will be okay. It's something that I've remembered and held on to for my whole life. It's shaped me who I am. It's impacted me. And it's something that has stuck with me from a young age. And I realized that even at a young age, we start to develop a faith, a worldview. We start to develop how we see the world even at a young age. And so though we may be saved though we may be a part of the church, there's things that taint us, things that shake us, things that move us. And when circumstance hits, we often will look back and say, oh yeah, the world is just a tough place. I don't think I can make it. And we start to allow our emotions to get the best of us. And today I want to talk to us a little bit about developing a faith that sustains to the end, because the Bible is clear about that, where the Bible says that every single one of us here who follow the Lord, every single one of us who put stock, who hang on to his truth and his truth alone and the person of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we will make it. And we will develop a faith that will sustain to the very end. And that day that we stand before God himself, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but I want to hear those words so badly. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. Because, you know, we're into the new year and things are going pretty well. We made some resolutions and different things, but it's so easy to kind of fall away from those things. So I want us to start off by reading in Psalms 18:30, and it's going to be an anchor kind of today that we'll come back to often. And let's read it together. Ready? Go. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. See, what the psalmist was saying is this, and he explains, where God, his way is perfect. His conduct, like his nature, is absolutely pure. The word of the Lord is tried, where that word flawless, it's tried, it's tested. And literally tried in fire. It has stood all tests and has never failed those who have pleaded it before its author. That's what the scripture's saying. It says it'll be a shield. That word shield, it means a buckler. If you've ever seen a Roman soldier who has a shield, anything that is hurled towards this Roman soldier bring hurt or inflict pain, that shield would buckle the impact so that it would not affect this person. And that's what the Bible says. His word or his ways is like a buckler or a shield that shields us. And the psalmist says, God's word is perfect. It's flawless. It will be a shield. It is stalwart. It is sturdy. It is solid, never changing. I don't know if you're like me, though. Because, you know, just being a human, I can believe that. I say, Lord, I believe. I'm saved. I got victory. But Lord, how come I still deal with anxiety? Lord, I still wrestle with stuff inside. I still get angry at times. Lord, I still freak out when the circumstances around me are chaotic. Lord, the recession is here and all kinds of stuff's going on, and everywhere you turn, it's like negative, bad news, bad news, bad news. I don't know if you're like me, but I often wrestle with that. And I'm realizing that there's certain things that we need to understand about our faith and developing a faith that sustains. Reminds me of a story where my best friend growing up, his name's Mark Skeel. Now, Mark Skeel and I mean, we did everything together. We did the good things. We did slumber parties, G.I. Joes, I mean, everything. We even had the same birthdays, June 26th. Isn't that cool? So we did everything together. And not just the good stuff and the fun stuff, but we also did the not-so-good stuff together. Now, hey, don't tell my dad when I tell you these kind of stories. But my friend Mark, his parents were in construction, steel construction, and so we would often take some of the wood that was stored in the backyard and we would set it up like forts. So we'd take plywood and put it up against a horse and plywood over here, and then, you know, we would look for like a monkey pod beans and pick those things up and throw it. And so I remember this one time we were in the backyard and I grabbed the monkey pod bean, and I would whip them fast at Mark. Pow! So he grabbed one and he threw it back at me. Pow! And so we started this full-out monkey pod bean battle. And it was going, and luckily we had these shelters and so we could hide behind. And I looked down and I realized that I had now exhausted my supply of monkey pod beans. So I looked down and I realized there's a little pebble here. You know, I mean, it's just a small little guy like that. And so I picked that up and I said, hey, it's not going to hurt. So I threw it at him and he realized it was a little pebble. So he grabs one and he throws it back at me. The funny thing is, what started off to be a little pebble like this, the diameter started to increase, you know. And before we know it, we're throwing like good sized rocks at each other. And my friend Mark was an athlete. We played baseball together, and he had a good arm. And I remember this one time I came out from my barrier, and man, he threw one so perfect. Whoo! Caught me right between my eyes. Boom! Oh, it just rocked me. I went behind the shield, and I was so scared and mad, and I just so much fear came over me. And, you know, I was just dealing with the emotions, so I'm just reaching for anything, you know? I'm grabbing boulders at this point, you know. And these boulders are going back and forth. And, you know, I don't even want to come out because his aim was so good. And I'm behind this barrier and I'm thinking, I'm going to die today. I'm going to die. Lord, help me. And just then, my saving grace, there was a old Japanese lady neighbor. She must have been watching us from her bedroom window. And how, as I was curled up behind this barrier, she yells out, hey, boys, stop throwing rocks. Someone's going to die. And at that point, I was thinking, oh, hallelujah, I'm saved. But you know, the funny thing is after we came out and, you know, I was all habut and I was all mad. And even though I was saved, I was still wrestling with these emotions because my friend Mark caught me one good one, you know. And I was thinking these thoughts, oh, you wait, Brad, I'm going to catch you when you're sleeping or something, I'll catch you, you know. And I'm still wrestling with these things. And though I was saved, I still had to deal with emotions. But you see, the Bible says that God's word is perfect, it's flawless, it'll be a shield. And if you're anything like me, there's still something about our faith that we have to wrestle and deal with, and it's called emotions. We say, Lord, I still feel these feelings. And he said, yeah, I know. That's a part of it. But my word is perfect. It's flawless. So don't bail, because I'll be a shelter. I'll be a shield to you. And just stay the course. And when we understand that, we start to develop a faith that will sustain to the end. And I'd say, Lord, why would you give me emotions then? Because, you know, I got to wrestle with these things. And sometimes it's hard and I wrestle and I want to quit and bail. And I see a lot of people bail and quit. So, you know, might as well me too. Remember this time I was in Bible college. In this Bible college class, it was a class on the prophetic books in the Bible. And the Bible says the gift of prophecy is given to encourage, to exhort, to console, to lift up. And prophecy would often take things in your own life and through scripture confirm it, like you're on track. So we'd learn about these things, and often we would, after class, we would do some prayer time, some worship time, and then our teacher would get up, this big lady would get up, and she would speak into our lives and kind of speak prophetic words and of encouragement. She would listen to us, and she would build us up and just speak God's word over us. And so I remember this one time where she went to one of my buddies, and she said, you're going to do great things for God, and God has gifted you in many areas, and you're going to do many wonderful things. And next person, and she's speaking into to this person's life. God's given you a great speaking gift and you're going to do great things. And then she comes to me and she says, Aaron, you're going to do wonderful things, but God has given you emotions. I was like, what? Hey, can I be like a warrior for God or something, you know? Like, can I be a soldier, you know? Can you give me that gift or something, you know? And after I was thinking about that, I was thinking, that's crazy. Lord, why would you give me that? I want something cooler, you know? Just by a show of hands, how many of you are emotional people? Raise your hand. Okay, I don't feel so bad. Thank you, thank you. But I was thinking, and it was almost like the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Aaron, I've given you a gift of emotions, because without emotions, how will you ever understand or feel things like compassion that I feel towards people? Or maybe a gift of kindness. How will you ever understand my kindness? Or Aaron, what about the love that I feel for people? And yeah, you're going to deal with the emotions, feelings, and we can allow it to bankrupt us or shipwreck us, or use it, and God will give us emotions for his better. But though we're saved, we still wrestle with these things called emotions. And in developing a faith that sustains to the very end, there's an understanding that we have to have about our faith. And would you write it in your first blank there? Let's write this in. Is the gift of salvation changes our heart or our soul, but not necessarily your emotions. You see, your emotions are not subject to salvation, but your emotions are only subject to discipline or training. I wish it was the other way around, like God can just wave a magic wand over my emotions and it'll be okay, but it's not. God has given us emotions as a gift to use. But if we understand that, then we're starting on our way to develop this thing, that a faith that will sustain to the very end. The psalmist understood this, and that's why he wrote these words. If you would read in Psalms 119:59, let's see what that says all together. Ready? Go. I pondered the direction of my life. I turned to follow your laws. See, the psalmist, he understood this, where he would often take his life and look at it, turn it over. He would look at every angle of his life, and because of emotions, the Bible says that we're like sheep. We have a tendency to stray at times, and our emotions will take us off course a bit. But he would look at his life, and it said he pondered it and realized where he was, and he said, but then I turned to your ways, God. So often, we may need to ponder the direction of our life, where we say, Lord, I realize that I'm going off and I'm wrestling with things. My mind is going off, my emotions, my feelings. But Lord, it's not about what I feel, is it? It's about what I know, and I'm going to turn to that. See, if we don't have something that we can always come back to, something that's stalwart, something that's never changing, something that's a standard, a principle, a truth, if we don't have those things that are set and sure, in the life that we live in, it's going to be tough. And we're going to go through things that are up and down, and we need to have something to look to. Something to hold on to. I was on my way to L.A., and I was the district youth pastor for here in Hawaii, and I was going to a conference where all the district youth pastors were coming together in our denomination, and as I was flying to L.A., I was sitting in the bulkhead seat, and I had just gotten engaged to my wife, so I was excited, and as I was on the way, there's this girl sitting next to me, and she's kind of pretty girl, and we got to talking a little bit, and she looks over at me and kind of gives me the eye a little bit, you know. I was thinking, oh no, man, that's the eye, you know, danger, danger. So I'm thinking all of this, and I'm like, oh man, and just then the plane started going through the like real crazy turbulence up and down, and all of a sudden this girl, this pretty girl grabs onto my arm and she said, oh sir, help me, I'm gonna die, just hold me, oh hold me. And so she grabs onto me and she nuzzles into my arm, and I'm just sitting there like, oh no. I'm thinking, oh man, I'm unfaithful already. Oh my goodness. I was thinking, what am I gonna do? I was trying to calm her down. It's gonna be okay. Don't worry, don't worry. And she said, oh no, no, just help me. I was thinking, should I tell her I'm engaged maybe? You know? Maybe I'll tell her I'm a pastor. Maybe that will work. And just then the captain goes over the loudspeaker and he says, oh, sorry about that, folks. The airwaves cleared up. It's smooth sailing. Don't worry. We'll be fine. We're safe. Whew. She's still opihi on my arm. So finally, I had to tell her, oh, I just got engaged and my wife is real, or my wife-to-be, she's real pretty, you know. She said, oh, no, hold me. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I was thinking about that, how funny that is, but I wonder how often I'll do that with the Lord. You know, oh, Lord, you're not enough. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Even though I'm holding on, I'm going to die. And my emotions are just going crazy. And it's almost like I need a life that is turbulent-free to live okay. But when the turbulence hits, oh, God, you're not enough. I'm going to die. And even though his word is spoken and he said everything's going to be okay, everything is secure, my word is perfect, it's flawless, but still, oh, Lord, the emotions I'm wrestling with. Lord, I don't know. I'm still angry. I'm holding on. I don't think I can give this up. You know what she said to me? You know what he said? I don't think I can give up. No, Lord, it's not going to work. And we bail too quick. But in developing a faith that sustains, there's another understanding about our faith that we want to make sure that we understand. Is this, write it in your second point there, is God will reveal his standard in his word. God will reveal his standard in his word. You see, it's tough to make decisions when you're emotional in life. Because if you're emotional, you'll make emotional decisions. If you're frustrated, you'll make frustrated decisions. If there's not something that we have that we can come back to that is solid and sure, then life is pretty tough. And it is crucial that we have something that we can always come back to. And there's a truth, and we understand it. We start to develop a faith that will sustain to the end, that God will reveal his standard or his way or that perfect, secure, flawless, shielding way through his word. I owe my life, firstly, to Jesus Christ. But secondly, to a man named Henry J. Kaiser. If you know anything about him, he's developed a lot of things here in Hawaii. One of the things that he's developed is the community of Hawaii Kai, dredging out the marina. And one of the things that he did is out in Mauna Loa Bay, he dredged this boat channel for boats to come in. And one of the things that he did is he put these channel markers that line the channel to tell boats where to come in and go out and where the reefs are. And on these markers, there's these blinking lights. And one of the people in our congregation gave me this little 12-foot boat with a motor, and I just enjoy it. I go out fishing sometimes and surfing, and it's just a wonderful, fun time. And one of the days after our church service, one of our friends said, Aaron, we're going to have a barbecue, and would you and your wife come over? And I was thinking, oh, man, I can take my boat because it's right out by Port Lock. I just take my boat out there. I said, hey, hon, you drive. I'm going to take my boat, you know. And so I start off on my little boat and out to Port Lock, and I get by his house and I anchor. And I think, oh, man, I'm pretty cool. I got the boating skills, you know. And so we go and we enjoy a barbecue, and it's, you know, about done. And my wife heads home, and I head on down to where the shore is. And I realize, it suddenly hits me that, oh, it's dark out here. Oh, I cannot see. I'm thinking, oh, but I got to go to my boat. It's over there, you know, and I got to go home. So I start wading out, and there's something about dark water and boats that plays the Jaws theme through your head. Dun-dun, dun-dun. So I quickly scurry to my boat, jump on, and I pull the anchor and start up the motor, and you know, I look and I see, oh, I cannot see anything. oh man, I couldn't die. And it's so crazy because as I'm going, and my friend gave me this little flashlight to try and make my way, and I'm trying to look, and I cannot see nothing. And it's like every little wave or every little thing that was on the side, oh, that was Jaws, that was on Shark Guarantee, oh. And it was like all these things were going through my mind, and I was, oh my goodness. And then I remembered in 1960, Henry J. Kaiser set these channel markers. And if I just looked for that one on the outside, that one that flashed green, if I could just see where that is, if I head straight for that one, I know that there will be channel markers that will lead me straight home. And so my eyes were peeled. I was looking the horizon, and finally I saw it, and I made my way. I beelined to that channel marker, and I started to make my way in, and it was like all peace. I said, hey, I'm pretty good, man. Oh, I'm a boat. I got boat skills, you know? But it wasn't that I had boat skills or I was a great boater. It was, no, in the darkness, I knew what to look for. And if I could just set my sights on that, there was a standard that was set from 1960 that I believe to this day saved my life. But that's what God's word is, folks. And when God says his word, his ways are perfect, it's flawless, it'll be a shield. There's going to be times with economy, with family, when we're trying to make wise decisions for our kids, for work, whatever it is. The Bible says there's a standard that is set. And in developing a faith that sustains, we need to be able to look to what we know and not how we feel. Because often we will live life on what we feel and not what we know, but it should be the other way around. Where God says, if you want to sustain in this thing called faith, you need to know what to look for. But faith is really twofold, because you can be aware of God's standards. You can be aware of his ways, his laws, his perfect and flawless ways. But being aware, I'm finding, is not enough. It's really a twofold thing. Because if you want healing, or if you want change, or you want God's word to really be real in your life, it's more than just being aware. And let's read what the psalmist says. This next scripture. And let's read it all together. Ready, set, go. I will study your commands, reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. See, what he's saying is, when I start to study your ways, God, I start to see how true and faithful it is. And I realize that it's more about just being aware of your ways, but I ponder my life according to that, but I turn to your ways. So it's not just being aware, but it's when we're aware and then we turn that way. We need to have something to turn to. In developing a faith that sustains, let me give you three things that in the midst of the world we live in, we can always turn to. And it's almost like those channel markers that will be set in our life. The first thing is this, right in your blank there, is listen to counsel. God's word is his counsel. I'm finding in every arena of life, there are rules, there are laws, there are principles. Every arena, whether you're a doctor, doctors take time to study different rules and principles for best practice. If you're someone that works with money or investing, you learn about the different compounding interest, business cycles, economy crunch. If you're in taxes, you need to learn about tax laws. And if you want to make wise decisions on your taxes, then you take your life to that person and your finances, and they work it according to certain laws and regulations. And I'm finding if you want to make the wisest decision in different arenas of life, then you take your life to them. And so what they do is, with the body of knowledge that they know and understand, they take all the options that are out there and say, and minimize it and say, here's your best options. Now you can make a wise decision. But you know, it's ironic, because in my Christian walk, The thing that's ironic is sometimes I'll go to these guys, the professionals that know it all, as doctor, and whatever they say, I say, great, okay, let's do that. With investing, great. Hey, hook, line, and sinker, you got me. With taxes or whatever it is, great. And whenever they say something, I say, yeah, okay. But when it comes to the creator of the universe, the one who created these people and the laws, the regulations that they live by, the God behind that, when God sometimes speaks into my life and says, Aaron, hey, you know, I want you to change your thinking because your thinking is kind of straying off a little bit. You're allowing your emotions and anxieties to get the best of you, to correct back. Oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't know hard, you know. I'm doing my devotions and God says, Aaron, you know the words that you're speaking to your wife, it's a little rash and you're just speaking out of your emotions and it's really doing damage to your wife. And so, hey, work on that and use words of kindness and encouragement. Oh, Lord, but you know what she did? Hard, you know. You know what she said the other day? And he said, Aaron, if you just listen to my words, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you things that you can always come back to, things that are sure. And though you may think it's the way, it's not. And if you listen to my counsel, then you always have something to come back to. It'll be perfect. It's flawless. It's a shield to you. Oh, Lord, I don't know. And it's funny, when the creator of the universe and everything, when he speaks, I often will resist. But in developing a faith that sustains, when we learn to listen to God's word and God's word alone and the person of Jesus Christ who exampled that, then we start to develop this faith that will sustain to the very end because God's word, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word won't. It's never changing. It's flawless. It's perfect. The first thing is listening. Let's read. Let me read to you in Proverbs. In 19:20, you can write that scripture in, and it's something that talks about this. It says, listen to counsel, and not just listen, but accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days to the end. There's a wisdom that comes from understanding that we're going to work through emotions, but we got to come to a standard. And if we start to listen to that standard, then there's something that God sets in our life that will be sure. The second thing is not just listen, but take it a step further. And right in your second thing there is practice. Practice. Let's read in Hebrews 12:11. Let's read that all together. And it's going to tell us something interesting about practice. Let's read that. Ready? Go. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for all those who've been trained by it. See, what the Bible is saying is when we can start to take what we're aware of in God's life or in God's ways and start to put that to practice, at first it's not going to feel good. It's going to feel a little awkward. Oh, God, it's hard for me to pray, you know, in public. Oh, you know, in the worship time, oh, kind of uncomfortable. Oh, Lord, you know you want me to maybe share my faith a little bit, but hard, you know. And the Lord would say, practice. Practice, because practice is something that will take an unnatural feeling and turn it to more natural. My wife and I, we just started our Lamaze classes. Any of you take Lamaze out there? All right, so you know what I'm talking about. Now, Lamaze, what it is, it's all about practicing for that day when the baby comes. And this lady that is instructing our Lamaze, she's from like the 1960s. And, you know, like hippie, I'm natural, I'm in full on. And she says, hey, folks, on that day, the baby's come and nothing is going to stop it. And so Lamaze is all about practicing, making things that are unnatural, like breathing or relaxing or certain things that you, because in that pregnancy, you want to be as relaxed as possible. They say that there's been people that have been so relaxed, they didn't feel one bit of pain. I was like, I don't know about that one. But she says it's all about practice. So in that time when it comes, you don't even have to think about it. It'll just be something that's natural. So she said, you know, it'll be a little awkward at first, but let's work through some of these techniques. And so we started some breathing techniques, you know. Breathing. And then she moved us on to this other technique where it's coming to a place of relaxation. And what she did is she had us take out these pillows and blankets and lay them down. And she said, okay, now lay down with your partner. And just like you would on your bed at home. I'm thinking, oh, that's kind of private and ashamed. That. Hey, that kind you cannot show in public, you know what I mean? I think, oh, this is awkward. And I look around and all these couples are like, you know, snuggling up to one another. I'm like, oh, this is weird. She said, no, just try. So I laid down and, you know, my mom does this and I think she gave me this curse. But when I get nervous, I start giggling a lot, you know? I cannot handle. I just can't handle. And so I'm lying there trying to be, you know, serious and trying to relax. And, you know, she turns on this music and she starts painting this picture of sunsets and, you know, and she starts talking about how, you know, it's beautiful and just think about these things. And I'm laying there like, oh, just holding it back, you know, I cannot handle, to the point where I started biting my lip, you know, just to inflict pain so I wouldn't laugh. Thinking, this Lamaze stuff, junk. It's not relaxing, it's painful. She said, no, just try, just relax. And so after a while, I was like, okay. You know, and I tried collecting myself. And then I started to listen to the music, started to soothe me a little more and listen to the sunset that she painted. And oh, man, this is relaxing. And, after a while, after I really practiced these things, at first what was awkward really started to become something that's natural. And now, you know, I think, you know, from then till now, if there's anything that's stressful in my life, I start breathing. I start using Lamaze, you know. I'm like, hey, this is pretty good, man. I practice. You know, same thing is with God's word, where it's not just a thing of listening, but it's really putting it, turning to God's ways and putting that into practice, that which may feel a little unnatural or not normal, but when we practice it, then it starts to become a normal thing. And when we go through a storm, then the peace and righteousness, which it's saying, will be in our life. It'll fill our hearts, our minds. And we know, Lord, that there's something that I can always look to. And once I get that right there in my sights, Lord, your ways, okay, I'm okay. And then it's a delight, the Bible says. And that's what we want to come to, because you see, when life starts becoming something that's chaotic and not that of which is a delight where the Bible says it can be, then it really gets tough to develop a faith that sustains. Some of you might say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm doing that. I listen, I practice, but still I look around and, you know, life is just hard. My family's falling apart. I mean, it's crazy. It's nuts. You'd write in this next blank here. There's a something that the Bible tells us to do, and write this in there. Learn to trust. Learn to trust. Let's read what the Bible says about trust in Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Let's read that together. Ready? Get set. Go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. As I do stand on the brink of fatherhood, and I'm thinking about my daughter, not just my daughter, but all the little ones that are in our church and in our lives. And I think about how these little ones are looking to the church, to us, and looking how we're listening. They're looking how we're practicing. They're looking if we're going to bail or if we're going to trust. There's a poem that reads like this. It says, 'Twas sheep, not a lamb, that strayed away in the parable that Jesus told. A grown-up sheep that had gone astray from the 99 in the fold. Out on the hillside, out in the cold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd saw. And back to the flock, safe into the fold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd sought. And why for the sheep should we earnestly long and earnestly hope and pray? Because there's danger, you see. If they go wrong, they will lead the little lambs astray. When the sheep go wrong, it will not be long till the lambs are as wrong as they. So with the sheep, we earnestly plead for the sake of the lambs today. If the sheep are lost, what a terrible cost some of the lambs will have to pay. I'm realizing that as I develop a faith that sustains, it's not just for me, but it's more than just me. There's a generation that's looking to us as the church and looking how we're going to fare. They're taking cue off of us. How are they listening? Because that's how I'll listen. How are they practicing that faith? Because that's a standard that will be set for me. How are they trusting? Is God really worth trusting? Because that's a cue that I'm going to take off of. When I was doing youth ministry about 7 years ago with the junior high ministry here at New Hope, I put together a little video about faith, and I want to let you take a look at it. It's just about a minute or so clip. But look at the hearts with which these children share their faith. Let's take a look.
Well, I think you should have faith, because if you don't have faith, you would like have to go to hell, and that's not good. And if you do have faith, you could go to heaven and have eternal life.
Faith to me is just having trust in God and knowing that He has a plan for you.
To me, faith is believing in God and what He did for us, like He died on the cross.
Faith is when somebody has like a lot like love or a strong feeling for God.
Faith is trusting in God or trusting in something you can't see.
Faith is believing in something so hard that you would die for it.
Faith to me is trusting in something. Trusting God. Trusting things you don't really see.
My faith gets stronger by reading the Bible, doing my devotions, and being around Christian friends. That way I don't get pushed away, like on the wrong track.
My faith gets stronger when, sometimes when I do my daily devotions every day, it just gets stronger by reading the Bible or in church when we're doing worship.
For me, my faith gets stronger when I do devotions and journal in prayer, in prayer, in prayer, in prayer.
I grow my faith by doing my devotions every day and going to church.
People should know about faith that it might not seem serious, but it is because God is like our God, and you have to have faith in Him to make it through life.
You know, as New Hope, as a church, as we develop a faith that sustains in a world that is not always sure, the Bible says that we always have something sure to come back to. It's a standard that God has set, and it's exampled by the person of Jesus Christ, His Son that He gave. And when we keep our ears open, when we practice, when we trust, even when we don't see, the Bible says, you and I will make it to the very end, and we'll hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Oh.
Oh, how was that for a treat, huh? Woo! What an awesome word. And boy, I can communicate like father, like son. That's pretty good, man. Wow. There's no greater communicator than the Holy Spirit in each one of us that will translate the message, right? The Word of God. Yeah. Let's all stand this morning. We're going to pray. Before we do, let me just share briefly, just feel this on my heart. Some of us have children that we want to see, in a sense, grow up like Aaron. Well, not the kind, you know, the bad stuff like him. But I was just thinking, in light of whether it's our children, those who are single in relationship to friends, but praying for generations, and praying for our grandchildren or children or family members and those who aren't walking with the Lord. But I was just thinking, I wonder if there's some people out here that are disappointed, maybe parents or grandparents. And so I just want to say a special prayer for you, that we're going to believe the Lord to touch generations around us. And God knows their hearts, and you know their names. You've been praying for your family. And so let's pray that within our hearts as well. Let's bow our heads. And while every head's bowed, I also believe that there may be some people here out under the tent that want to begin their faith walk with the Lord. Yeah, you've heard about God, but you're not here by accident. And this may be the first time you say, hey, Rod, I want to receive Jesus into my heart. I want to ask him. I want to invite God to be the steersman of my life, my coach, my life coach. And if that's you, you'd like to receive the Lord, just lift a hand outside, inside, just lift a hand and say, yeah, that's me, Rod. I want to receive the Lord. It's your personal commitment. You're just lifting a hand to him, acknowledging, yeah, I want to receive the Lord. Okay, you can go ahead and put your hands down. We're going to pray this prayer with you. You repeat after me, and the whole church will pray this for you to receive the Lord. And after you pray this, after the service, we want you to go outside and pick up what we call a yes packet. And there's a Bible in there and some information. Just begin your journey. But let's pray with these, church, the ones who've said yes. Even if you didn't raise your hand, you know who you are. God wants to fill your heart this morning with his love. Let's pray this together. Repeat after me and add all of your heart. Dear Father, thank you for sending Jesus, your only Son, to live and to die for me, for my sins, for my life. And dear Jesus, I receive you now into my heart, into my life. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Come and live inside of me. I thank you that from this day forward, I am your child, and I belong to you. And I say this so you can hear, so others can hear, so even the enemy can hear, that I am a child of God, and I belong to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for our family, for these that have received you for the first time. We're family together. Lord, now help us all, because we're all in this together, to walk this faith walk out with you. Thank you for helping us to grow in you. Lord, a special prayer for those we're praying for, generations around us, sons, daughters, grandchildren, relatives, we pray. Restore their relationship. Help them to come to know you, our Lord Jesus Christ. In your name, we celebrate and pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's welcome those who've received the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
bless you. Have a great morning.